Word of mouth. Word of mouth. Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Games are an ancient form of culture that today command a market share twice as big as the music industry and gaining fast on the film industry. Games have emerged from the rec room and found a place in the classroom, onto cell phones, advertising, and the very way that we view the world. Colleen Macklin is working to make us more game literate. She designs games based not on winning or losing, but on learning and experiencing the creative, the social, and political universe outside of the screen. That's part of what she'll be talking about as a keynote speaker at the New Hampshire Arts Education Conference on Saturday, October 20th. Colleen is Associate Professor of Communication Design and Technology at Parsons, the New School for Design in New York City. She's also Director of Pet Lab and has so many other credits that, you know, I could take the whole interview doing this, Colleen.
Well, thank you, Virginia. You're flattering.
We're really happy to catch up with you. You have such an interesting background in photography, in computer design, in international affairs. Now, what do those experiences bring to your work as an educator and creator of games?
Well, you know, I always like to think that as a game designer, you learn about what you're making a game about, because ultimately games are the kind of pop cultural form of systems which drive the world. We don't oftentimes think about how important systems are to, you know, the economy, society at large, that when you make a game, you actually have to kind of get under the hood, whatever topic that you're making a game about, and you have to truly understand it from the inside out. So part of my interest in things like international affairs are to try to understand how this world works.
Well, you talk about systems. I've watched a number of your talks and noticed a theme of how play is important in our society. So are those two at odds, play and systems?
Oh, yes. Well, play is really the way that we learn how a system works. You've got to poke and prod at a system and see what happens in order to understand it. Because oftentimes they're a little bit of a black box, you know. And what is interesting to me about games is that you are an active agent. You're an agent of change, actually, in that game system. And you're actually trying to figure out how it works by failing over and over again. And the interesting thing to me about games is that it makes failure fun and really encourages you within kind of this strange dichotomy, a rigid system of rules, to push against those rules, to see how far you can bend them. And ultimately, that's what play is. Play is finding the kind of leeway within a system.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking about, as you speak about it, you know, about the many things that I would like to ask you. And you know, how great it would be if somebody, you know, had a command, a video command, and was saying, okay, go down this road or that one, you know. And, but I realize that's what I do when interviewing guests. You come up to these junctures, you choose a path, it has different consequences. Is that sort of the idea, that you're helping kids make decisions at these junctures?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I guess what you're talking about is a genre we call choose your own adventure, mm-hmm. Where, you know, you have a branching path and you have to decide which way to go. But the best games, something they all kind of hold in common, are the games that ask us to make interesting decisions.
What are some examples of interesting choices?
One of the games I'm most proud of is a game called Budget Ball, and it's about the federal debt. Now, okay, as your listeners
start
to fall asleep.
There's a barn burner.
I know. Immediately, it's like, okay, everyone, tune out for a second. No, actually, we had the same issue. We were approached by a Washington, D.C. think tank. We were asked, okay, how do we make a game to engage today's youth in what's going on with the federal deficit? And we thought, oh, my gosh, we're going to put them all to sleep. We have to have free pizza or beer or something like that involved in order to get college kids engaged. But actually, what we ended up doing is we created not a digital game, which I think would be an initial reaction, but a sport that you play with your body. So we created an intercollegiate sport called Budget Ball. And the decisions that you make in the game happen in between moments of very frantic play where you're throwing the ball between teammates and trying to get goals. But in between the play, you actually have some currency. You have something called budget bucks. So you could buy an additional defensive player or get someone on your team to be a high scorer so they get an extra point whenever they catch the ball. But in order to do that, you go into debt. So it kind of teaches this idea that actually debt, we have a bad connotation with it, but debt lets you do things. that you wouldn't normally be able to do. But ultimately, the other part of decision-making in the game is you have to end with a balanced budget. So as you go into debt to be able to play better, you actually have to take sacrifices to pay off that debt. You might have to wear funny oven mitts or headgear or take certain disadvantages to pay that off.
Well, I'm looking at some photographs of budget ball on the mall. This was played on the Capitol Mall, you know, in June a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I love the description. It's called a cross between the Fountainhead and Death Race 2000.
That was an article in the Huffington Post, and it was interesting. We actually got a lot of different sort of bipartisan response to the idea of teaching youth about the deficit. And yes, it's played on the National Mall with the Congressional Budget Office staffers and others against college students. For the last several years, the college students have won, so they know how to balance the budget.
So are we going to see Republicans and Democrats play budget ball anytime soon?
Oh, my God, I'd love to see that. In fact, we're trying to lure Barack Obama because we know he's a big sports guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Geithner did release a statement and really likes the game. So we're glad that we have the approval of the U.S. government.
We're talking with Colleen Macklin about arts education and the way we think about the world through games. She's associate professor at Parsons, the New School for Design, and director of Pet Lab. That's a lab that is focused on developing games for experimental learning. But she does a lot more, and she's going to be speaking at the New Hampshire Arts Education Conference at Kearsarge Middle School. That's on Saturday, October 20th. You mentioned working with Pet Lab, which is college students, I guess, at Parsons, but also inside of schools and Boys and Girls Club, this game tech initiative. Now, we've heard a lot, of course, in recent years about how we could use games for learning inside of the classrooms, but you're actually working on teaching kids how to design games. Now, why is that process going through that helpful in education?
One of the things that you learn when you make a game, of course you learn how to tell an interesting story if there are narrative elements in the game, or you learn those STEM skills that people keep talking about, science, technology, engineering, and math skills, which involve programming, understanding how computers work, and being able to be a very computer literate. But the side of learning that I'm really interested in is how you actually learn about a thing, whether it's climate change or the federal deficit or the history of your neighborhood, by making a game about it. And what you learn about that thing is so much deeper and richer than reading about it or learning the facts, because you have to create a game that represents that thing. Playing games, you learn some, but when you actually make it, you have to be able to translate how something works to a player, and that is a real learning experience.
What about the willingness to do that, though? There is a certain comfort in being able to sit, you know, on your comfy chair alone and play games and interact with people. There's a kind of vulnerability in playing together.
Yeah, there absolutely is, and I think that there's also the connotation that, oh, it's child's play. You know, this is not for me. I'm fully grown. But I think you find that as you return to some of those aspects of play that you kind of forgot about, that there's so much richness there. That doesn't mean that I am only a proponent of physical games.
You're going to be speaking to the New Hampshire Arts Education Conference. Tell us about the relationship between art and games, or how you see experiencing the arts through games.
Well, games are art. I will just stand on a podium and say that. You know, I think that they're a beautiful art form. They're a really interesting one, and to understand them is to understand so much about human nature and so much about systems and how the world works. So I do think they're a really exciting kind of Renaissance form of art, because you have so many different components and parts to a game. There's a way to kind of learn about art making and learn about design by making games themselves. So much about our education system actually goes against this idea of continuing to refine and strive for something. I think that the nature of testing in our education system is that you take the test, you either pass or fail, or you get a grade. Well, what if you could take the test as many times as you want until everyone succeeds?
Mm.
So my feeling is that to succeed in today's world, we really need to learn new methods. And I think the iterative kind of design-based approach to things can actually teach us a lot about how to create a better world.
Well, given that kind of bifurcated either-or, pass-or-fail kind of thinking, I think there are a lot of people who consider themselves, I'm a person who plays games, or I don't. You know,
right.
is there a kind of resistance that I'm sure you, that sitting in that conference audience are going to be several people who just think, oh, I don't do this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How do you win them over? How do you convince them, Colleen?
Well, if you come to the event, you'll see that I have a very, a very hands-on way that I'm going to ensure that everyone leaves a gamer in some form or another. But at the same time, just like reading is not for everyone, games might not be for everyone. So I'm not out there to convert the masses. But what I do want to do is provide a more nuanced perspective and show some examples that I think will really surprise people about where games are going today and about this art form that I actually think is the art form of the 21st century.
What's your favorite game to play?
Oh, gosh, that's the hardest question in the world. It's like me asking you, what is your favorite film of all time? Oh, God.
The last one I saw is generally it.
I know, that's it. So most recently, I have been playing a game called Dyad, which is on the PlayStation, and it's a sound and visual kind of game. It's really hard to describe. All I can say is it's a totally psychedelic experience without the use of any chemicals. So it's really an interesting game because it's so abstract and it's all just about light and color. But, oh, I can't even. I love so many games and there's so many different kinds that is an impossible question.
A world of games. Thank you so much, Colleen, for spending some time with us today.
Virginia, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Colleen Macklin, Associate Professor in the Department of Communication Design and Technology at Parsons, the New School for Design. She's also director of Pet Lab, a lab focused on developing games for experimental learning and social engagement. And she will be speaking at the New Hampshire Arts Education Conference at Kearsarge Middle School Saturday, October 20th. And you heard her. She's going to make a believer out of you. There are links for details on her talk and the rest of the extremely impressive programming for the 2012 conference at wordofmouthradio.org. Also, you'll find links to more on Budget Ball and all of the games that Colleen mentioned today.